Fear not, I am the first and the last. And is what Jesus said. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe I would take my philosophy and my opinion of life from somebody who's been dead and went over and crossed over and come back rather than a professor in a college or some fool like Marilyn Manson or somebody who's never been dead yet and hoping there ain't no God. Wouldn't you? I mean, really, if you had to know, wouldn't you take the word of a man who had been dead and crossed and then came back? And that's what Jesus was saying here. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Let me down on this a little bit, Brother Mike. Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject, what the resurrection means. Now, for you maybe here that not even familiar with what the resurrection, the word means, it means Jesus, God's Son, died on a cross. They put him in the tomb. And after 3 days, he got up by the power of God, and he was alive again, and he's gone back to heaven. Jesus did not have to die. He died in our place. He didn't sin, so he didn't have to die. But the reason people die is because they sin. If nobody sinned, Adam and Eve would still be living right now if they'd never sinned. But Jesus died to pay for all of our sin, so that when we accept him as our Savior, our sins are paid for. It's like this. A lot of folks don't understand what salvation is. Let's just say, this microphone stand right here this morning represented me or you or my life. This one here would represent Jesus Christ and his life. Jesus did not come so that we could imitate him and say, well, if I can really be like him, I'll get to go to heaven. He didn't do that. It's like that song she sang. It says, his life for mine. Here's my life. I sin since I was a little bitty boy. I mean, third grade, you cheat on a test at school. That's stealing. You tell your mom a lie. Tell your dad a lie. Do something you're not supposed to. All in sin start packing up. Curse words. Anything deceitful. Anything about you that's wrong. Thousands and thousands and thousands of sins on you. That's my life. And that's your life. Now, when you get saved, the Lord don't say, all right, I forgive you, now do the best you can. The Lord takes his life and puts it on yours so that when God looks at you, he sees him. That's what being saved is. That's why we can shout our heads off this morning, is because it's not us. It's not our righteousness. It's what he done for. And you know, people look at us and say, well, Danny Castle, he ain't nothing. You're right, because all you see is me. But when the Lord looks at me, he sees Jesus and his life. His life for mine. He is my substitute. He is my propitiation. He's my go-between, like a lawyer. Between you and the judge, a lawyer goes between you and the judge. Jesus is between me and God, and his blood justified me. That's the good thing about being saved. Now, when he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and I want to tell you what the resurrection means. Carefully, just for a few minutes. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that there has been a complete demonstration of the deity of Christ. You know what that is? That's preacher language for saying that Jesus was God in the flesh. And Jesus was God in the flesh, and the resurrection proves that. Now, there are a lot of people today who think Jesus was just another great teacher. They say there was Buddha, and there was Muhammad, and there was, you know, this person and that person, and then there was Jesus, and he was just another in the long line of great religious teacher. The resurrection proves that God chose him out of all those other religious leaders. He was not just a religious leader. He was God in flesh. According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you have the right Bible. If you have the wrong Bible, he who was in the flesh. But if you got a King James Bible, it says God was manifest in the flesh. You see, Christianity begins where all other religions end. Every other religion in the world points to a founder and his tomb. Christianity points to an empty grave. Our religion starts where all theirs end. Their religion is, our founder's dead, but if we follow his teaching, we might wind up where he is. I'm afraid you might. Our religion is, our Savior died for us and rose for us, and we're going to heaven because of what he did for us. That's why it's called a gift. So it's a complete demonstration of the deity of Christ. When the Lord was here on earth, he was God in flesh. Somebody asked me one time, they said, now come on now. How could God be up in heaven and God be walking around down here? He's a Trinity. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's all three but one. We don't believe in three gods, one plus one plus one. We believe in one God, eternally existent in three persons. One times one equals one. And when you talk to God, he's the Father, he's God. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't explain it. You believe it and accept it by faith. The closest thing you could get to it would be ice and water and snow. They're all three H2O, but they're three complete things, like a football. A football has a leather cover, and a football has an inside tube, and then it has air. Air is spirit. That's where we get our word spirit, pneuma, like pneumonia. Breath, spirit, air, breath. And that football is one football, but has three parts. God is one God, eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And there's nothing like that in any other religion in this world. When he died on that cross, it was God in the flesh paying the price for our sin. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he demonstrated the deity of Christ. Let me show you what else the resurrection means. The resurrection gives irrefutable vindication of the authority of the Lord's teachings. That means this. That means everything he taught was vindicated by God by resurrecting him from the dead. So when Jesus was here teaching, he wasn't just throwing out ideas. God stamped his approval on the teachings of Christ by raising him from the dead. For example, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's one of the things Jesus said. Jesus said, he was here, he died on the cross, pays the price. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and nobody comes to God except by me. Now, we're living in a day right now when there's a big war among Christians and Muslims in America. And our news media has gone to work day and night to convince us that those two religions are basically the same. They're like cousins, you know. It's just different words for the same thing. They say Muhammad, Jesus, it's all the same thing. We're all going to the same place. I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to me? I'm not trying to be a troublemaker. I love everybody. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, not a way, not one of the ways. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, either he was telling the truth or he was lying. If he was telling the truth, you cannot go to heaven about a Muslim, Islam, and believing in Muhammad. You say, well, Brother Danny, you're being... No, I'm not. I'm just telling you. He said, I am the way. And by the way, God didn't raise Muhammad from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. So God's resurrecting him from the dead proves that he was the one telling the truth. God bless you this morning. Brother, we're in a fight for our lives in this country. They're brainwashing our kids and telling them in school. They're trying to sneak Islam teaching in on our boys and girls, but won't let them bring a Bible. And tolerance and everything. We're tolerant. We love everybody. We just believe there's truth and lie. Truth and lie. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if he said that and meant it, there can't be another way to heaven. Amen. One man told me, they said, well, it don't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Really? So you can believe in a rock or a tree or anything. You know, I heard that story about this fireman. And he went to this house. And the fireman, there's a lady out in the yard screaming, my baby, my baby, my baby's in the house. And this one fireman, he put on this asbestos suit and this helmet and everything. And he said, I'll go rescue the child. She said, it's down there in the down the hall in the bedroom. So he runs through them flames. And there everybody standing out there and the neighbors and they're praying. And the woman's screaming, my baby, my baby. And that fireman run down that hallway of that home. And he grabbed that little baby out of that
bed, wrapped it up in a blanket, and he come running out like that, flames hitting him all over the place, risked his life, thought the roof was going to fall in on him, and he come back and handed it to the mother. And everybody cheered, and everybody clapped, and everybody jumped up and down, and she opened it up to see if it was all right, and there's a baby doll. And the real baby's burned to death in the room. And you know what that man was? He's sincere. There's no religious person more sincere than that guy was. But he was wrong. Sincerity is not enough. Jesus said, I am the way, and the resurrection proved that he was telling the truth. The resurrection set Jesus Christ far and above all other religious leaders that's ever been on this earth. What about he said, you must be born again? If he said you must be born again and God raised him from the dead, I reckon you better listen to that. You better be born again. If you've not been born again, I tell you what, you better get it done this morning. There is no other way. How do you know what's in heaven? Somebody said, well, how do we know what's on the other side? Listen to him. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you got the right Bible. If you don't, you get a room. NIV says there's many rooms. But anyway, you can tell what I've been studying, can't you? It's coming Friday. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That means right now, we know what's on the other side of death. You say, how do you know? The resurrection confirmed his teachings. It lets us know he was telling the truth. Here he went. He said, my Father's house got many mansions. I don't know what they look like, but I know there'll be no rust there. There'll be no thieves can't break through and steal. We know you'll be perfectly happy. We know you'll be perfectly content. There'll be no kind of need. You'll never be bored. And a man told me one time, a teenager girl came up to me in church. She said, Brother Danny, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or nothing. Please don't think I mean this wrong, but what are we going to do in heaven forever and ever and ever? Like, won't we get bored? And you know what? Our modern conception of heaven is we're like ghosts or something. And we all got this little cloud that we sit on, like a little marshmallow puff. And you're sitting on this cloud with your legs crossed with a harp. You know, and I'll just float by on my cloud. And there you'll go, and we're just... And you just... Bring. That's why people think, you know where they get that? Cartoons and movies. Listen, we are not going to be in heaven acting like we're stoned. I mean, we ain't going to be up there in heaven like you're on some coke or crack crystal meth or something like that, brother. Listen, we're going to be on our right mind. We're going to look up there and I'm going to say, glory to God, look at that. The Lord sent me over to Alpha Centauri this morning to check out another universe over there. And I went over and I come back. I give me a bite of that grape. And there'll be a grape about as big as this pulpit. And just open it up like that. And you'll eat all you want. Catch a trout from here to the wall over there out of the river of life. Eat all you want. Not gain 1 pound. No heartburn. Cholesterol, blood pressure. Nothing like that, brother. And we'll enjoy the things of the Lord. Everything you can imagine down here, it'll be 10,000 times better up there, and we'll enjoy it forever and ever. These little people in Hollywood, Lord have mercy, their little cribs they got out there, and Lord, give me a break, brother. We're going to live in one and make, I mean, this will make the Biltmore house look like somebody's outside toilet somewhere. We're going to have a mansion in, I'm serious, I mean that. The Lord said, you say, how do you know he's telling the truth? He come up from the grave. God vindicated his teaching. We're going to heaven one of these days, people. Don't get your roots too deep down here. We're going to leave here and go to a better place. But I reckon now if what he said about heaven was true, what he said about hell was true. And he told a story in Luke chapter 16 that there was a man that died and he opened up his eyes in hell and he screamed and he said, somebody come and put water on my tongue. Those words came from the greatest authority that's ever been on this earth. Flame. I'm tormented in this flame. Now, you're taking a gamble nobody in Las Vegas would take. If you say, I don't think it's right. I disagree with it. My professor, your professor ain't but 50 years old and has never been dead and is looking for an excuse to live like a devil.
I'm telling you, Jesus said there's a hell. And you're going against the most moral, highest authority that's ever been on planet Earth to go against that. I wouldn't change it. I don't think high enough of myself to take my opinion over Jesus Christ. You must have a mighty big ego, friend, if you think you're smarter and know more about the other side than Jesus Christ. Jesus said there was a man. He died. He went to hell. He's burning. He's screaming. And I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, that's the truth. That's happening right now while I speak to you. The resurrection showed that. Eternal punishment. Number three, the resurrection means God's seal of approval on the redemption accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He declared he came to do the Father's work. And when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. What's finished? The Father's work. When he first started, his mom and daddy, when they couldn't find him there, you know, he said, don't you know I got to do my Father's business? That's when he first started, when he's 12. Then he started his ministry when he's 30, went 3.5 years. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. He meant his Father's work that he came to do on this earth. It's God's approval that his redemption of the cross was perfect. I remember the song, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there, Nebo Baptist Church. I just had my spiritual birthday this week. You know, April 18th, I always celebrate it every year. And I was 18 years old. God saved me. And that night, it was there by faith. I received my sight. And now, I'm happy all the day. Number four, the resurrection marked the introduction of power over death. Nobody had power over death till Jesus got up. Do you know what science and all their great accomplishments? Everybody talks about, man, technology is so great. Technology is so great, we can text. You know what they've done to eliminate the death rate? Nothing. You say, yes, they have. My uncle got sick and they made him better and he didn't die. He ain't died yet. He's fixing to. You know what the death rate is? 100%. Man, old Liz Taylor. You know how come every picture they put of Liz Taylor on was like 20 years ago? Cause 30, 40. Listen, brother, because death gets all of us. You know, everybody, the youngest, healthiest, happiest kid in here today is going to swivel up and die one of these days. If the Lord don't come, it's 100%. You know what science is going to do to stop it? Nothing. Most of the things just prolong your suffering a little while. The death rate is 100%. But Jesus got up and he overcame death. And we as Christians are the only people that will ever cheat death out. Besides Enoch, a type of us in the Old Testament. And brother, we'll cheat death if the Lord comes in our lifetime. We'll cheat the Undertaker. I'd just soon go that way. I hope we do. Amen. He burst the bonds of death. He tore the bars away. Death couldn't hold him. Up from the grave he arose. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You say, well, did he really rise from the dead? You know what they done to that tomb? They sealed that tomb. The Bible said when they put him in that tomb that they sealed it. The Roman government, who was in charge in that day, Rome crucified him, you know that. They put guards around that tomb and they set a seal. Let's just say that, I don't know, let's say underneath this table here was the tomb. This was the tomb. And they put his body in there. They rolled a great big stone, eight feet in diameter, about that thick, heavier than a car, in front of that hole to seal that thing. Then they put like six guards around it. Now here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one. Because a rumor had done got around that he's going to get out of there. And they said, now look, you guys watch it. And they, back in them days, they didn't fool with you. If you messed up on the job, they'd kill you just like that. So those guards were guarding that tomb with their own life. They knew they could, six of them. Now, when he rose from the dead, you know what people went around telling? They went around telling that the guards fell asleep. All six of them fell asleep. And the disciples came and moved that rock that was that thick and 8 feet diameter, heavy as a car, and got him out of there while six adult Roman guards slept. Now, I got to thinking about that. And I thought, there ain't no way that all six of them guys
slept at the same time. Really. And if they're like me, if I was out there guarding something with my life and I decided I want to take a nap, wouldn't you just sort of lean up against that rock? Like I was, when I go somewhere and I stop, and I go to a rest area or something like that, and I stop and I thought, I'm going to close my eyes just a minute. I put my hand on my wallet. I used to take a pistol with me everywhere I went, you know, I'd travel, something like that. And I'm here, I said, I'm going to stop one of these rest areas and somebody's going to kill me. So I'd take a pistol and just lay it on my chest like that. So if anybody looked in there, they said, oh, you got a gun, I ain't going to mess with it. But if I was going to do that, I would lay up against that rock if I was going to snooze, wouldn't you? I mean, you know good and well, all six of them didn't just pass out and lay around it. And those disciples, no way, no way. As a matter of fact, by the time they moved that rock, the angel moved it, he was already gone. He didn't even have to have that rock moved to get out of there. You know, when that angel came and got that morning and opened there and they said, look, he is risen. Jesus has done got up and had breakfast that morning before they did, brother. He done gone to sunrise service, unlike many of you dedicated Christians. And, I mean, brother, he got up there. And, buddy, he got there and he was already rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And done made touch with the Father and everything else. He come up out of that grave. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's the introduction of the power over death. He's the first man ever to get up overpowering death of his own power. Amen. There was more witnesses. You listening? More witnesses. Eyewitnesses saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead than there was saw Abraham Lincoln get shot. You don't doubt that, do you? You don't sit there in school and think, oh, that didn't really happen. He didn't get shot in no theater. They just made that up to tell us scary stories. You know why you don't never doubt that? Because the devil don't care if you believe it or not. But as soon as somebody starts talking about Jesus, some little voices start to, oh, do you think that really? Do you believe that? That's a devil talking to you and you don't even know it. Seducing spirits. I've never doubted Abraham Lincoln got shot. Maybe he didn't. You know, like some of them old mountain people don't believe they went to the moon. There's still people up in the mountains that don't believe they went to the moon. They said, oh, they didn't go no moon. Up in West Virginia, they went out there in the desert and filmed that. Got billions of dollars of our time. I thought, well, you know, you never know. That's the government for you. Wouldn't put it past them. I believe they went. One old guy up there, he said, they didn't go to no moon. He said, I was watching that on TV, and I went out and looked, and the moon wasn't even out that night. But you know what? You know how I know he rose from death? Because every one of those disciples, every one of them, died a violent death for that. Except one, and that was John the Revelator, the Apostle John. And the tradition says they tried to boil him in oil and he wouldn't burn. And they said, we can't kill him. We'll put him on the Isle of Patmos. And God let him write the book of Revelation while he was out on the Isle of Patmos. Great, great book at the end of the Bible. Let me tell you something, people. Matthew had his brains beat out with a halberd axe. Peter was crucified upside down. Philip was crucified. James had his head cut off. The other James had his brains beat out with a club. Luke was hanged. Bartholomew was crucified. Thomas was stuck through with a spear. And John, they tried to boil him in oil. You don't die like that for something you know is not true. If it comes right down to it, if you're lying about something, you ain't going to give your life for it like that. And every one of them died. You know why? They saw him. 500 witnesses. Lord have mercy, think about that. What if you had a court case here in Burke County? And 500 people walked in and said, I saw it, I saw it, I saw it, I saw it, I saw it. 500. You know what the judge would say? It happened. 500 people. You know how come you doubt it? The devil's talking to you. That's why. You better wake up. I'll say this and I'm through. The resurrection settles once and for all the old question, if a man dies, shall he live again? He's dead. He died. He come back, and nobody's ever contradicted him successfully. You know, it's funny, the Bible's
all these thousands of years old, and ain't never been proved a mistake in it yet. You wouldn't think with all these geniuses nowadays, they could find a mistake in the Bible, but they've never, it's been took to court and everything. Nobody has ever successfully proved an error in the King James Bible. Never. You gonna take your chances against a book like that? They took soil samples from the Garden Tomb to the Scientific Association of Great Britain, where the Lord died, where they put his body, and they done tests on it. No flesh had ever corrupted in that soul. It settled once and for all. We'll see our loved ones. You know, I've been thinking about Mom. We just lost Mom just 4 weeks ago tomorrow. It'll be 4 weeks ago tomorrow, I think. We had her funeral. Because he rose from the dead, I get to see my mom again. She won't look like she did the last time I saw her. She'll be young and pretty. She'll be happy. She loved flowers, and there'll be flowers there. And she loved peace, and that place is full of it. And she loved Jesus, and he's there. And she wanted everybody to be happy, and everybody's happy there. I'll see my mom again. You'll see your grandmother, Papa, brother, sister. You know why we know that? Because of the resurrection. If he had stayed dead, we wouldn't have no hope. Brother Derek hit on it in Sunday school. We're of all men most miserable. We don't have nothing to preach. There's no use. We might as well forget it. I'm glad the resurrection means something. You know, they said there's an old man one time, a lawyer, Charles Finney. And a lot of great preachers were lawyers before they started preaching. We think alike. We're crooks. No, I'm just kidding. But they said a lot of great preachers were lawyers. Charles Finney, C.I. Scofield, lots of them. And I always used to want to be. I want to be a lawyer, but you have to go to school too much. But Charles Finney was a lawyer, and he got saved. They said he went to school for several years. Smart, brilliant, brilliant man, his mind. And they asked him, they said, what are you going to do, Mr. Finney? He said, I'm going to hang out my shingle, that's what they called it back then, and I'm going to practice law. And they said, then what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to get rich. And they said, well, what are you going to do after that? He said, I'm going to retire and enjoy it. And they said, well, what are you going to do after that? And he said, well, I reckon I'll die. And they said, well, what are you going to do after that? And he looked and he said, I guess I'll go to the judgment. And he said that hit him so hard, he run out of that office and run out a half a mile into the woods. And he got down and he said, God, I'm not leaving this spot until I know that I've made my peace with God. And he did. He come back and he preached. And God blessed that man. He had thousands of converts. He never did do no law work. I don't reckon he's a preacher the rest of his life. You know why? Because he realized that you're going to die, you're going to face judgment, and you're going to live again somewhere. Bob Jones Sr. said he's walking down the road one day as a young man, and he said this thought struck him. He said, I'm going to live forever somewhere. I guess I ought to be figuring out how to live. Right. Amen? Yeah. You're going to live forever somewhere. You better be figuring out how to live. Because you're going to be in heaven or hell in a few years. That's what the resurrection means. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Now, no one's moving. People are praying. Christians pray. God's speaking to your heart this morning. You need to make a move. You might need to do like Charles Finney. Come and make your peace with God. Maybe you're here on this Easter Sunday morning. Deep, deep down in your heart, you say, preacher, I got to live forever somewhere. I might as well be figuring out how to live. And I'm going to get down on my knees this morning, and I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart. And I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to go to heaven. Will you like to ask the Lord to save you this morning? Please, will you? Something's already coming. Something's already coming to the altar this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you've never heard nothing like this in your life. I'm telling you, it's the greatest story ever told. The Lord wants to save you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved, but you've not been living like you need to live. Will you come to the Lord this morning? Will you? Will you?